Christ, the General Overseer of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, Daddy Gio, as we fondly call him, Pastor E.A. Adeboye.
Thank you. Let somebody shout hallelujah. While you've prayed for nations, you've prayed for the church, I think it's time to pray for yourself. And the first thing you want to do is you want to lift your hands to the Most High God and just bless His holy name. Praise Him that you are alive today, that you are here, because when there is life, there is hope. Magnify His holy name. Praise Him. Praise the King of Kings. Praise the Lord of Lords. Praise the Ancient of Days. Magnify His holy name. Praise Him. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be adored. He's worthy to be magnified. Praise Him. Praise Him. Let Him hear your voice, worshiping Him, adoring Him. Give Him all the glory. Give Him honor. Give Him adoration. Bless the Almighty God. He is worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Is worthy to be adored. Praise the Alpha and the Omega, beginning and the ending. Who is the one who was, the one who is to come? The Almighty. Praise Him, the great physician, the great deliverer, the great provider. The unchangeable changer, the one who can turn the table against the enemy, the one who can turn the tide in your favor. Praise. Oh yes, worship Him. Give Him all the glory. Thank you, my Father. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. You are worthy to be praised. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Now I want you to lift your voice and say, Father, if two people will have testimonies here tonight, let me be one of them. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty. If two people will leave here tonight with brand new testimonies, let me be one of them. If only two people will be having a special encounter with you here tonight, let me be one of them. Let me be one of them. Let me be one of them. Thank you, Father. Glory be to your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. We give you all the glory. We give you honor. We
glory, we give you
Almighty God, we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the adoration. Thank you for the wonderful testimonies we have heard. Thank you for greater ones that we are about to do tonight. Thank you for the salvation of our souls. Thank you that thus far you have helped us. Please accept our worship in Jesus' name. Tonight, Father, in all our lives, please do something new. Do something mighty. Do something miraculous. Do something divine. Let every one of us leave here singing a new song. And once again, I'm committing all your partners into your hand. All those who have been lifting up our hands to make sure that this program will continue, Father, continue to lift them up.
Amen.
Strengthen them.
Amen.
Support them.
Amen.
Prosper them.
Amen.
Don't let them know anything called failure.
Amen.
In every area of their lives, Father, just let it be well with them.
Amen.
And Lord God Almighty, heal this land.
Amen.
Send us another revival quickly.
Amen.
And take all the glory for it, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
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 Let somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I appreciate can we two or three people prophesy to them and say, God, we lift you up today. And you may please be seated. Let me start by thanking the Almighty God for all the great men of God who had spoken before me. I think we should give the Lord a big round of applause for the words we have already heard. Thank you very much. The Almighty God that we are serving will never forsake you. And I think the choir had been great as usual. I think we should also appreciate them. Tonight we haven't got a lot of time. One of these days we'll come back for a truly all-night service. May God bring that time quickly. But you know something about God, that whenever he wants to perform a miracle, he doesn't need an hour. He just moves suddenly. And so even while I'm introducing, suddenly somebody will receive a miracle. If you are the one, let me hear you shout hallelujah. So I will be brief tonight, but as brief as I can be, I will be calling on you to pray. And when I say I want the youth to stand up and pray, or when I say stand on your feet and pray, I'll be talking to the youth, the young ones. The elders, they can sit down and pray. We say, what happens? I can hear an elder say hallelujah there. He said, what happens if the elders fall asleep? That's no problem. Bible says the old ones will dream dreams. And they have to fall asleep to dream. So, but when I say the young ones, I'm talking to those who are younger than I. And since I'm 75, you are young if you are younger than 75. You are old if you are older than 75. So how many young ones are here today? That's almost all of us. Amen. Very quickly then, let's go to Psalm 3 from verse 1 to 4. Psalm 3, verse 1 to 4. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. God will hear somebody here tonight. This passage we've read, the text we've read, tells us certain things very quickly. One is, there is someone called a lifter. Psalm 75, verse 6 to 7, Psalm 75, 6 to 7, tells us that promotion comes from God. Not from the east, not from the west, not from the south, but God is the judge. He raises up one and brings down another. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8, 1 Samuel 2, verse 8, says God can even pick up somebody from the dunghill and keep lifting him up until he begins to sit with princes. There is a lifter. And he has lifted before. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 11 to 13. 1 Samuel 16, verse 11 to 13 tells us that one day one young boy woke up a shepherd boy. Before he went to bed, he was a king, because somebody lifted him up. And he will lift up again. Because he said in his word in John chapter 12 verse 32, John 12 verse 32, he said, I, if I be lifted up, will draw men unto myself. He's always drawing people upward. If we lift up Jesus Christ, he will lift us up to himself. He will lift again because he is unchangeable. Hebrews 13 verse 8. Hebrews 13 verse 8 says Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forevermore. So there is a lifter who has lifted before, and he will lift again because it is his nature to lift. He cannot change. So I have good news for somebody here today. The lifter is going to pay you a visit. And then, because there is a lifter, it follows there is a lifting. So to be down does not mean to be out. The Bible says in Job chapter 22 verse 29, Job 22 verse 29, it says, when men are cast down, you will say there is a lifting. So it doesn't matter how low you are tonight, before you walk out of here, you will get a lifting. And then, of course, if there is a lifter and there is a lifting, there automatically must be a liftee. I hope that's good English. A liftee is the one who is to be lifted up. And I think I'm number one in that level. In Psalm 121 verse 1 to 2, Psalm 121 verse 1 to 2, David said, I lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. In other words, there's someone here tonight looking up, saying to the Almighty God, I want to be lifted high. And the Almighty God is going to hear your cry. Now, very quickly, let's look at the lifter versus the liftee. The lifter has to be on a higher level than the one to be lifted. Now, Psalm 91 verse 1, Psalm 91 verse 1 talks about someone that is called the Most High. The one who is the lifter is the Most High. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 8, Ecclesiastes 5 verse 8 says, is higher than the highest. Isaiah chapter 66 verse 1, Isaiah 66 verse 1 says, heaven is his throne. The earth is his footstool. That means no matter how high you are here on earth, you are still under his feet. So he's much, much higher than you. The lifter must be higher than the one to be lifted. Not only that, the lifter must be strong enough to lift the one to be lifted. And the same Psalm 91 verse 1 calls him the Almighty. Almighty means the one who has all might. And Jeremiah 32 verse 27, Jeremiah 32 verse 27 tells us that he's the God of all flesh, with whom nothing shall be impossible. So he has enough strength to lift you out of whatever situation you might be in. And then the lifter must be able to reach down to the level of the one to be lifted. Now he's up there. Yes, he has the power to lift. But will he be able to reach me where I am? Well, Deuteronomy 33 verse 27. Deuteronomy 33 verse 27 says, underneath are the everlasting arms. In other words, it doesn't matter how low you are, his arm is even lower still. The arm is beneath you, so he can pick you from wherever you are and begin to lift you higher still. And then he could be up there, he could be powerful enough to lift me, his hands could reach me where I am, but will he be willing to bother himself to come down and pick me up? Well, Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 to 3, Matthew 8, verse 1 to 3, tells us that a leper came to him one day and said, I know you have the ability to make me clean. What I am not sure is, are you willing? And the answer he got was, oh yes, I'm willing. And he touched him and he was made clean. That's an example. And then we have another case in Mark chapter 9. If you read it from verse 17 to 27, Mark 9 from 17 to 27, the Bible tells us about a man who brought his son to Jesus Christ. And the son had been having all manners of problems from birth, from the devil. And the man said, I brought this my son to your disciples. They couldn't do anything for him. Now I brought him to you. If you can do anything, please do it. And Jesus turned around to him and said, if you can believe, then all things are possible to him that believes. The man was a very clever man. He said, I believe, but just in case my faith is not enough, help thou my unbelief. There might be one or two of us who are here tonight. We believe God can do all things, but we are not so sure our faith is strong enough. I have good news for you. The lifter will meet you at the level of your faith. Now, the one to be lifted, of course, must realize that he needs help. If you don't feel that you need to be lifted up, then the lifter will not be wasting his time trying to reach you. If you are comfortable, if you are satisfied with the level where you are, then no problem. You can just keep on enjoying the rest of the evening and pray for those of us who need lifting. And then the one who is to be lifted will need to cry to the lifter for help. That's why I said you will need to pray again and again in the next few minutes before we round up. Because the lifter said in Psalm 50 verse 15, Psalm 50 verse 15, he said, it's those who call on him in the day of trouble that is going to answer. And then, of course, the one to be lifted must understand that the lifting is going to experience must be in the terms that the lifter will spell out. In other words, if you want the lifter to lift you up, you cannot begin to dictate to him how you want it done. You remember the story of a man called Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 to 14. 2 Kings 5, 1 to 14. He had been told that there is a man of God that can pray for him and his leprosy will be cleansed. And so he came. And when he arrived, the man of God told him to go and take a bath in River Jordan. And he got upset and was going away angrily. And he said, I thought that he would come out and cry to his God and lay his hand on the leprous spot and then heal me. He was dictating. But fortunately for him, somebody told him, you are the one in need of help. You better do as you are told. So if I ask you to stand and pray tonight, stand and pray. I know some of you probably came thinking that, well, when I arrived, when he has finished preaching, maybe he will come down and lay hand on my head, and then I will receive my miracle. Tonight, you are going to do the praying yourself. And do you know what? As you cry unto him, he's going to answer you. Now, life is in levels. And the lifter can lift you up from whatever level you are now and move you to a higher level. For example, there are some people who are in a pit right now. The lifter can bring them from the pit to the level ground. Psalm 40, verse 1 to 3. Psalm 40, verse 1 to 3. David said, I was in a miry clay, in a horrible pit. I cried to the Lord, and he heard me, and then brought me out and put me on the rock to stay. So if you are in a pit, and I will be explaining that in greater details later on, get ready to be lifted up out of the pit tonight. And then if you are on a level ground, you are in a valley, the lifter can pick you from the valley and take you to a hilltop. You see, those who are on the hill, they have advantage over those who are in the valley. If you check Exodus 17, verse 8 to 15, Exodus 17, verse 8 to 15, you will find that when the children of Israel were fighting against the Amalekites, Moses climbed a hill. And from the hill, he controlled the battle on the ground below. And at the end of the day, victory was given to the children of Israel. Or some might be already on a hill, and they can still cry to the lifter and say, I want to go higher still. And it can move you from the hill to the mountaintop. For example, in the case of Elijah, in 1 Kings chapter 18, from verse 17 to 39, 1 Kings 18, 17 to 39, Elijah was already on a hill. He was a man who was already controlling even the weather. But he had to go to a mountain top before he could call fire down from heaven. Because it's when you get to the mountain top that prayers are answered by fire. And I know some people are going to the mountain top tonight. But some people could even be already on the mountain top. I know there are some pastors here who each time they pray, fire falls. Some of them, by the time they are even preaching, fire is coming out of their mouth. They can move from the mountaintop to a little higher. See, I thank God for the testimony I had just now about the pastor who was praying for others and things were happening, but he had a mountain of his own that he took the Almighty God to sort that out. So if you are already on the mountain and you see half of your own problems, God can give you wings to fly over the mountains. You see, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 30, Isaiah 40, verse 30, he said, they will mount with wings as eagles. But there are some of you who are already flying over mountains. That's how high you are. But the Almighty God has even a better plan for that. He can move you higher than that. You see, because if you have to fly with your own wings from London to Cardiff, you are likely to be a little weary by the time you arrive. It's better that you sit down in a plane, for example, and be carried all the way. For example, coming all the way from Lagos to London, I was sitting quietly in the plane. I was sitting and drinking. When I arrived, I was as fresh as when I left, because I was carried. Now, the Almighty God can move you from having your own wings to carrying you on eagle's wings. That's what he said in Exodus chapter 19, verse 4. Exodus 19, verse 4. That's how he carried the children of Israel from Egypt to the promised land. And so God can move you. It doesn't matter how high up you are. He can move you, according to his word, from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. There is this level when God is so involved in your affairs that you move from one success to another without effort. Success without a sweat. Some of you probably, I didn't even ask you, how many of you are attending Festival of Life for the first time? Let me see your hand. Oh, okay. All right. So I will tell you some stories that others probably have heard before that will be beneficial to you. You've heard the story of one of my sons who came to me and said, "Daddy, I've been on one spot for too long. I want to make progress. And I've applied to a place, a company. I want to be deputy managing director. I'm going for the interview. I want you to speak a word concerning my interview." I said, "Okay. Want me to speak a word?" "The interview will be very successful." I said, "Amen." And then he left. He prepared very hard for the interview. He got there and they asked him three questions. "What's your name?" He told them. "What job have you applied for?" He told them. "When are you ready to start?" So he came back rejoicing. "Daddy, thank you very much. This is what happened." I said, "Congratulations." He said, no, "Speak another word." So I said, "Okay, your promotion in that place will be rapid." He said, "Amen." Then he went the following day to resume. And when he arrived, they asked him to go to the boardroom again. He got to the boardroom. He saw the same people who interviewed him the day before. And they said, "Young man, after you left, our managing director resigned. Are you ready for the job of managing director?" So he came back trembling. "Daddy, you spoke a word that my promotion will be rapid. I didn't know it's going to be this rapid." I said, "Congratulations." He said, no, "Speak another word." So I said, "Okay. The one who has started the good work in you will perfect it." Then he left. And then he arrived the following day in the office and they asked him again to go to the boardroom. He arrived in the boardroom. The same group of people were there and they said, Young man, we discovered why our managing director resigned. Our competitors have offered him a bigger salary. That's why he left us. And since we don't want you to go, we'll double your salary. So he came to me this third time, now almost speechless. And he told me what had happened. I said, congratulations. He said, speak another word. I said, you want to take the company from the owner? Stand on your feet. Lift your voice to the Almighty God. And say, Father, from tonight, move me from glory to glory. Go ahead. Open your mouth. Talk to the Almighty God. From tonight, Lord, just move me from glory to glory. From glory to glory. From glory to glory, O Lord. From success to success. From one higher ground to another higher ground. Father, move me from glory to glory. From tonight onward, move me from glory to glory. Move me from glory to glory. Oh, yes, Almighty God. I know you are the great lifter. Lift me up, Lord, from glory to glory. From glory to glory. Move me higher every day, every day, every day. Move me from glory to glory. Thank you, my Father. Move me from glory to glory, Almighty. From glory to glory. Success without a sweat. One success after the other. Speedily, effortlessly. Move me from glory to glory. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Now, let's now be practical. Let's look at applications of what I've just shared with you. Let's consider the physical. The Almighty God can reach into the grave and bring someone back to life. It's like going to the pit to bring somebody out of the grave. And the classical example, of course, will be John 11 from verse 39 to 44. John 11, 39 to 44. When we are talking about dead people, when you consider the case of Lazarus, that man was dead. I mean, really, really dead. So dead that even when Jesus Christ said, roll away the stone, the sister said, Lord, let's put it very politely, don't disgrace yourself. This one is already too late. By now he is stinking. If you had arrived earlier, before we buried him, we know you are here. You've done that before. I mean, some people on the way to burial ground, you could have done something. But this one is too late. Remember what Jesus Christ said? Nothing is ever too late with me. So I have good news for somebody here today. It doesn't matter what the doctor has said. The lifter will lift you up today. And occasionally, we have people who are not yet dead, but they are living dead. In other words, they are just one step away
from the graveyard. And the lifter can come and change that completely. In Mark chapter 5, verse 25 to 34, Mark 5, 25 to 34, we heard of a lady who had been bleeding for years. And all the doctors have lost hope. They've tried their best. Thank God for doctors. Wonderful people. But they are human beings. And they are limited. So they get to a stage when they tell you there's nothing more we can do. And I that's why I really, really thank God for the testimony of my brother. By October, he was already getting ready to go home. But the Almighty God said, no, I've not finished with you yet. And there's somebody here too. I believe God is saying to you, God has not finished with you yet. When this lady who had been bleeding all these years had just a touch of the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ, the lifter lifted her up. And the sickness ended that day. I have a deep feeling within me that this particular FOL is going to be full of healings. And then the lifter can take somebody who is healthy and make him permanently so. You know, he said in Exodus 15 verse 26, Exodus 15 verse 26, he said, if you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all that he commands you, he said, I will bring none of the diseases that I brought upon the Egyptian upon you, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Do you know it is possible for you never to know sickness again till you see Jesus? After all, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 34 verse 7, Deuteronomy 34 verse 7, he said, Moses was 120 years old. His eyes were not dim, and his natural force not abated. You know what that one means? That's a polite way of saying at 120, he could still marry a young lady. He was still vigorously active. I have a daughter who, I don't know what name you call this, optician at yours, that's what we call them, those who deal with eyes. And this lady had been struggling very hard since I turned 50 to make sure I wear glasses. So every year he will ask me to come for eye test. And when I do the test and I pass all the tests, he will say, okay, I'll wait till next year. When I was 60, she was sure, now definitely you will wear glasses. Now I'm 75 and I still don't need glasses. I am not saying that there's anything wrong with you wearing glasses, but I want to decree, if you will receive it by faith, that even those of you who are using glasses won't need them anymore. But it can take you further than that. Not only can it make you permanently healthy, it can give you the ability to heal others just by touching. It can lift you to that level that whoever you touch will be healed. In Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 8, Acts 3, verse 1 to 8, you know the story of the lame man by the beautiful gate. And Peter was passing by and he was expecting alms. And Peter said to him, silver and gold have I none. But, okay, thank you, Lord. And the Lord said, there's someone here tonight. He said, you received a surprise recently. He said, I will give you another one soon. So Peter said to that man, he said, silver and gold have I none, but I have something. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. But of course, the man didn't move. But by the time Peter touched him, the Bible said his ankle bone received strength. I'm believing God for somebody here today, that from now on, anyone you touch will also receive a healing. But God can even take you higher than that. He can take you to a level where your handkerchief can carry healing virtue to the people who are sick. He's done it before. Acts chapter 19, verse 11 to 12. Acts 19, 11 to 12. The Bible says God performed special miracles by the hand of Paul, that from his body, handkerchiefs and aprons were taken to the sick, and they were all healed. God can do it. He's done it before. Or even he can take you much higher than that. He can so make you full of healing virtue that your shadow can heal. He's done it before. In Acts chapter 5, verse 14 to 16. Acts 5, 14 to 16. The Bible tells us that in those days, when people hear that Peter was coming to town, they would line up the sick people by the street so that the shadow of Peter might fall on the sick. And I said, as many as were touched by the shadow, got their healing. Now that God hasn't changed. The power to heal the sick can be so mighty in you that from this moment onward, your shadow will be healing the sick. You see, when we are praying for revival, I thank God that the revival is already starting. Amen. But the kind of revival that is going to shake this nation is not going to be by ordinary preaching. There will be the need for raw demonstration of the power of God. There will be the need for you to be able to visit a hospital and empty all the sick people there. Yeah. How many of you believe that God can do that for you? And it's going to happen in Jesus' name. Yeah. I give you an example. Some of you have had the testimony of the young man. There's something in the human body, I think they call it PSA or PSI, I don't know. The doctors know. And I think they said the normal level is supposed to be about 5 or 7 or something. And by the time it rises to about 20, they begin to suspect cancer. By the time they read the thing and it's reading 100, they begin to talk of terminal cancer. Now, so there was this son of mine. By the time he got to the hospital, he so was reading 4,000. So the doctor said, are you sure you walked in here? He said, yes. Okay, and in that hospital, and it's somewhere here in Europe, I just don't want to mention names. They have a room in that hospital where they put people who are surely going to die. In other words, the moment they send you to that room, they only expect you to be carried out dead. So, it happens that I was visiting that nation. I was going to conduct a service there. And this, when I got to the airport, this my son wasn't at the airport to receive me. And I, because of our closeness, I knew he was to be among the people who would receive me. Where is my son? I asked. They said, oh, sorry, sir, he's in the hospital. Oh. So I said, can we branch at the hospital on my way to the hotel? So we branched. And I asked for permission to go and pray in that room. They said, oh, of course, you can go. Because they thought there's no hope for them anyway. You can't do any harm. And I got there and I prayed for him. There were quite a few others there. But, you know, unlike where I come from, I know in your civilized nations, you don't pray for anybody unless they ask you to do so. Otherwise, they may sue you. So I just prayed for my son, and I left. That was a Saturday. by Wednesday, my son was completely whole. Now that's a miracle enough. But the bigger miracle is everyone in that room was discharged the same day. Now I want you to stand on your feet and lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, Father, from tonight onward, lift me to that level that even my shadow will heal the sick. Open your mouth and cry to the Almighty God. I know you can do it. You've done it before. I'm tired of being an ordinary Christian. Lord God Almighty, lead me to that level where even my shadow will be healing the sick. Lift me to that level. Lift me to that level. Saturate me with your anointing, with your healing virtue, so mightily that even my shadow will begin to heal the sick. I don't want to be just healthy. I want to be distributing your healings to several people. Lift me up, O Lord. Take me to that level where your healing virtue will be even in my shadow. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Then let's talk about the material. Let's go into the material realm. You see, when we talk about the material realm, there are also levels. There are those who are destitute, those who are in the pit, as it were. The Almighty God has the ability to bring someone out of the pit of death. I know there might be one or two people who are here who don't even know where they are going to get the money to pay the next mortgage when it is due. There are people who are so heavily in debt, they don't even know how to survive. Thank God you came, because you will experience a miracle. Because in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, we have the story of a widow of one of the sons of the prophets. And she was heavily in debt. And the situation was so bad that when the creditors came, there's nothing worthy of sale. Nothing of value in the whole house except the boys. Because the woman had two boys. So they said, if you don't pay us by tomorrow, we will sell your children. That's how bad the situation was. But she cried to the lifter. And by the time the creditors returned the following money, not only was she able to pay them off, the Bible says she had enough to live on for the rest of her life. That had happened before, and it's going to happen again. Oh, there are some people, they are not debtors. They don't owe. It's just that they don't have enough. That's why they are called the poor. The lifter can lift you out of poverty level. He did it before. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8 to 16. 1 Kings 17, verse 8 to 16. It's talked about a widow again. This one had only one meal left. She wasn't owing anybody, but she had only one meal left for her son and herself to eat and die. But the lifter came on time. And for the rest of the period when there was famine in the land, she was always having food to eat. But there are some of us who are, our situation is not that desperate. It's just that we are not really comfortable, financially speaking. Well, there is the lifter who can lift you up to the comfort level. The comfort level is the level where you say, I have enough. In Genesis chapter 33, verse 8 to 9, Genesis 33, 8 to 9, we have the case of somebody, you know, Esau by name. You know the story, Esau and Jacob. Jacob maneuvered the brother out of his blessing and then ran away. And finally, he decided to come back home. And when he heard that his brother was coming to meet him, he decided that I will bribe him with a lot of goats and sheep and money so that at least maybe he will not kill me. But when they met, because God has intervened in between, and instead of killing him, the brother hugged him and said, you are welcome home. The brother now said, what's the meaning of all this animal that I see? Jacob said, it's just to buy favor from you. Esau said, I have enough. Keep your own. Whatever you have, that's all right. I have enough. I pray that somebody is here today. Very soon, you'll be able to say, I have enough. But that's not the highest level God can take you to. Because I know there might be one or two of you who will say, oh, I have enough. The Almighty God can move you from the level of I have enough to the level of the rich. A good example is found in Genesis 24, from verse 34 to 35. Genesis 24, verse 34 to 35. And those of you who know me, you know I'm not a prosperity preacher. I just preach the old gospel. And let me tell you one thing straight away. Poverty is not good. Because I have been there. For the first 18 years of my life, I had no pair of shoes. You don't want that kind of situation. A good Christian should be at least above a little more than I have enough. This kind of program, thank God for my partners here. There are some places where we take this program to that I can't even ask for any partner. I can't go and preach this gospel and hold Holy Ghost night in Papua New Guinea, and I've gone there at least twice to hold the Holy Ghost service, and begin to ask for partners. They need me as partner. So God needs some people who will be more than just comfortable to be able to get this work done. And I'm believing God that you'll be one of them. Abraham, according to what we have in Genesis 24, verse 34 to 35, the Bible says God has blessed Abraham greatly. And Abraham is our father. He's the father of faith. We are of the seed of Abraham. If God blessed Abraham greatly, we qualify to be blessed greatly. Because the Bible says the blessings of Abraham will come upon the Gentiles. So we should be part and parcel of that. But God can move you from being rich to being wealthy. I won't spend too much time on that because, you see, when we preach about things like this, among those of you who are already comfortable and wealthy, you don't want to hear. When I preach this kind of sermon in Nigeria, they want to hear. Because we are surviving by the grace of God. So if there is the hope that one day we too will be wealthy, we want to pray for it. But I believe there might be one or two people here too who would love to be wealthy. Not for your sake, but for the sake of the kingdom of God. Because there is work to be done. Because when the revival breaks out, there will be churches to be built. Do I hear amen to that? I don't know if it pained you that you see adverts saying this former church building can be used as a beer parlor. Does it pain you? If I have the money, every church building that I've been locked up, I will buy them and open them up again, knowing fully well that the revival is at the door and we are going to need these buildings. So how many of you really want to prosper for the sake of the kingdom? I have good news for you. Your prosperity is on the way. But then we can move from being rich to being wealthy, and move from being wealthy to being prosperous, and move from being prosperous to being flourishing. That's the highest bit. But I don't want to spend too much time on that. I will just give you an example of what it is to flourish, so that when you pray, you will know how to put your prayer. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. The Lord asked me to tell someone, he said, I will not let your sorrow continue. Now, I said I will give you an example. There was this emir, one of the emirs in the oil-rich nations of the world. And they had so much money that if you are a native of that land, you don't have to buy petrol. You just drive your car to the petrol station, fill up, and drive off. Because the money was so much. And so the wife came to London to shop and spent 3 days shopping at Harrods. And the goods were quite substantial. And then she told one of the servants to take the goods home. And the servant looked at the goods and said, all right, ma, I will go and charter a 747 cargo plane. And she was furious. You want to put my goods in a cargo plane? Told the boy, go and buy a brand new 747. Remove the seats and use it to carry my goose home. And the boy did that. They carried the goose home and she stored the goose in a store. And she did not even open any of them for 3 years. And the Bible did say that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Do you know the reason the church is still poor is because we are too shy to ask for God to prosper us? Stand on your feet and lift your voice to the Almighty God. I say, Father, I don't know about the others, but if you prosper me, I will build your kingdom. So go ahead, O Lord, and prosper me. Open your mouth and cry to the Almighty God. I don't know about others, but if you prosper me, I will build your kingdom. I will build churches for you. I will do your work. I will evangelize. So go ahead, Lord. Try me. Try me with wealth. And see me working for you. Lift me up, O Lord. Make me worthy. Make me prosperous. Let me flourish, O Lord. And I will build your kingdom.
I will build your kingdom. I will build your kingdom. Oh, Lord God Almighty, please try me and see what I will do with the wealth. I will build your kingdom. I will build your kingdom. Don't let me die in poverty. Don't let me die in lack. There is work to be done for you, Lord. Please, Lord, transfer some of this wealth to me, and I will use it for your glory. I will use it for your glory. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Now let's go a little spiritual and see how the lifter can bring somebody out of the pit, bring somebody from level ground to the hill, from the hill to the mountaintop, and then to the level where you are flying. The lifter can go into the pit of bondage and set the captive free. When you read the story of the madman of Gadara in Mark chapter 5, from verse 1 to 20, Mark 5, verse 1 to 20, you find a man who was hopelessly in bondage. The Bible says he had a legion of demons. You know very well, just one demon is enough to turn somebody into a terrible situation. You heard the story of the testimony of that, my daughter. I mean, you came, you won a scholarship to come and study, and all of a sudden you couldn't even study. A little check would have shown there's a demon at work. Many times there are sicknesses and diseases, the doctors will give it a name, but they really don't know what they are talking about. Because demons don't appear on x-ray. They can do MRI, they won't see demons. But thank God for the lifter. They can turn the tide against the enemy. And whatever enemy came with you to this place today, you'll never see them again. He reached out into the pit of bondage and brought out that man who had a legion of demons and turned him to an evangelist. Or he could pick somebody who is not in bondage, who is just free and powerless, and he can lift him to the level where he's endued with power. The Bible talks about 70 people that Jesus sent out. And if you read Luke chapter 10, verse 17, Luke 10, verse 17, the Bible said the 70 returned. They were 70 ordinary people until the lifter selected them for a special assignment. And he returned with joy, saying, even demons were subject to us at your name. I would like to prophesy to someone here tonight that when you leave this place, in the mighty name of Jesus, demons will see you coming and run. Oh, he can equip you with so much firepower that, like we have in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9 to 12, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9 to 12, when the enemies came trying to arrest Elijah, he just called down fire from heaven and roasted them. Now, I know some of you might say, no, we don't need that kind of power here. No, you really don't, because you are secure. May your security continue. But there are some of us who have to travel in nations where we are constantly in danger of highway robbers.
And one of the reasons why I liked Elijah so much, and I spent a lot of time studying him when I became a Christian, is that when he came face to face with this kind of situation, he just said to them, "Roast." And they roasted. I mean, you know how beautiful that would be for somebody to be driving along the road in Nigeria, and some highway robbers come, and they said, "Well, stop there. We want your car." And you say, "But I'm a pastor." They say, "So what?" Say, "Well, if I'm a man of God, roast." Glory be to God. But God can move you higher than that. He can move you to the level that you can have what the Bible refers to as double portion. You know, in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9 to 15, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9 to 15, that was the kind of power that the Almighty God made available to Elisha. And so when a whole army came to arrest him, instead of roasting them, he arrested them and fed them. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 to 23. 2 Kings 6, verse 8 to 23. Which is why I preferred Elisha even to Elijah. You see, because I know many of you got excited when I was talking about roasting your enemies. But if you read Psalm 23, particularly verse 5, he said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." If all your enemies are dead, who are those who will watch when God prepares the table before you? I think it is better to have that kind of power that can paralyze the enemy so that you keep on doing what you need to do for God and they won't be able to touch you. That's called double portion anointing. And I believe somebody will get it tonight. And then God can move you to that level of anointing, that height of spiritual anointing, that wherever you go, you leave power behind. You know, in 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14 to 21, 2 Kings 13, verse 14 to 21, the Bible tells us about what happened even after Elisha died. There was still enough power in his dead bones to raise the dead. It's a beautiful thing for a Christian to be able to reach a level that anything you touch begins to carry power. And when you sit on a chair, power stays even on the chair. And so on and so forth. And I give you maybe just one example. I was visiting the U.S. and I decided to visit one of my sons. I told him I will be coming to your house for lunch because we've been friends for years. "Don't tell anyone because I don't go around eating in houses. I'm coming to your house simply because of our relationship. Tell no one." He said, I will keep my mouth shut, sir." But I arrived and I saw four women beside his wife. I thought this is supposed to be, they came to cook. What kind of food am I going to eat that you need four women to help your wife to cook? He said they came to cook. Later on, I was to learn they came believing, because they have been barren for a long time, believing that if they could only sit on my chair after I've gone, they know that God will answer them. A year later, when I was back in America, three of them already had their children. The fourth one was already 6 months pregnant. So I want you to stand on your feet and say, "Father, I'm your child also. Empower me, O Lord. head, talk to the Almighty God. Empower me, empower me. Empower me like never before. Empower me so that wherever I go, your power will be manifest there. That even after I've gone, miracles will still be happening. Empower me, O Lord. You are the lifter. Lift me high. Take me as high as possible. Empower me, O Lord. Empower me. Almighty God, you are the lifter up of my head. Please lift me high. Lift me high. Empower me, O Lord. So that wherever I go, miracles will happen. Signs and wonders will follow. Please, Lord, lift me high spiritually. Lift me very, very high spiritually. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Now I want to conclude. I believe God has already done what he wants to do. Ah, thank you, Father. The Lord asked me to tell someone that because you came tonight, he said, he will change your story from average to outstanding. Oh, thank you, Father. I want to conclude, but Daddy is still speaking. The Lord said there is someone here. He said, those who say you will never make it, you will invite them to your celebration. Okay. Now, I want to say amen to this one before I tell you. You know, Daddy said there's someone here. He said one day, very soon, a crumb from your table will feed 1,000. Now, okay, now, conclusion. It's released me to conclude. He is the lifter. He has lifted before. He will lift again.
Yeah.
But just as he can lift, he can also pull down. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 7. 1 Samuel 2, verse 7. He says, he lifts up one and brings down another. I have always told you that by the grace of God, I've been walking with God now for more than 40 years. He's my daddy. I can't say I know all there is to know about him, but I know him sufficiently to tell you that there are two sides to him. Just like a coin. On one side is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. God is love. But on the other side of him is the consuming fire. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. Hebrews 12, verse 29. Our God is a consuming fire. His love on one side, his consuming fire on the other side. So it depends on what side of him you are on. If you are on the right side of God, He is love. And He can do absolutely anything for you. He can reduce your mockers to nothing. That's who He is. But if you are on the wrong side of Him, you don't even want to be. Because the Bible says it's a dangerous thing, fearful thing, to fall into the hand of the living God. So if you are still living in sin, because this God is a holy God, and you are defying Him, because that's what you do every day you sin. You're saying, God, do your worst. I'm going to fornicate. Do your worst. I'm going to cheat. Do your worst. I'm going to lie. Do your worst. When He decides to move, He can reduce a king to an animal. Can ask a king to eat grass like an animal for years. Until the king will say, oh, Lord, I surrender. I have seen billionaires become beggars. In these few years of my life, I have seen professors become a madman. I have seen the high becoming low, even as I've seen the low becoming high. It all depends on what side of Him you are on. That's why my children hear me crying, be holy, be holy, be holy, because that's what God said. Be ye holy, for I am holy. So I'm appealing to you tonight. If you are still living in sin, if you have not yet surrendered your life to God, please do so now. Because you only know today, you don't know tomorrow. Maybe He has been withholding His anger, waiting for this day that you will come and hear this little man of God speak, and then take a decision. If you decide for Him today, He will forgive all your sins, He will save your soul, He will give you a brand new beginning. And I can assure you, long before the end of this year, you too will be singing a new song. Yeah. So if you are here and you have not yet given your life to Jesus, come and do so now. Or if you are here and you say you have given your life to Jesus Christ, but you are still living in sin, then you know somebody is deceiving somebody. Come and give your life to Him. Let Him give you genuine salvation so that everything can become new. I'm going to count from 1 to 7. If by the time I say 7, you are not already standing before me, I know you are not coming. So we will close the meeting and be on our way home. So if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, come now as I'm counting. 1. The choice is yours. You want to be on the right side of God? Come now. If you want to dare Him, that's all right. Then you could sit down and refuse to come. But God has given you a mighty opportunity tonight. Come and surrender your life to Him. 3. Thank you, those of you who are clapping. Your hands will never be empty. Keep clapping for God. Keep coming, keep coming. This is your day of salvation. It's the Lord that is calling you.
come and surrender your life to him. Let him save your soul. If your friend is asking you, where are you going, tell him to leave you alone. I'm going to surrender my life to Jesus. It's my life. And I want to surrender to my maker. I want to surrender to my savior. I want to surrender to the one who can lift up my head. I want to go and give my life to Jesus. Come quickly. Four. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Hurry up. And if you're a backslider, you want to return to the Savior, come also. Come for restoration. You used to be born again, but you know you are doing those things you say you never do again. Come now. The Lord is calling you. He can restore you tonight and start afresh with you. Six. Hurry up, hurry up. This is your night. This is your night. This is your night. God bless you. God bless you as you come. God bless you. God bless you as you come. Yes, God bless you. I wait some 10 seconds more for you. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Keep clapping. They are coming. They are still coming. Keep clapping. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I can see you coming. God bless you. Any other person? Still coming. Hurry up. Hurry up. Hurry up. This is your day. Don't miss this opportunity. Tomorrow might be too late. Tomorrow might be too late. Come, come. Tomorrow might be too late. But today is still your day. You still have an opportunity today. Oh, glory be to God. Keep clapping for them. They are coming. They are coming. They are coming. Glory be to God. They are coming. Yes, come and give your life to him. Let him save your soul. Let him restore you to fellowship with him. Let him give you a brand new beginning. Keep clapping. They are still coming. They are still coming. I can see them all over. They are still coming. Oh, this is your day. Glory be to God. Tell the devil to leave you alone. I'm going to my maker. I'm going to my savior. Keep coming. I can see you. They are coming. Glory be to God. Any other person? Yes. If you are coming, just wave your hand so I can wait 10 seconds more for you. Oh, glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Yes, glory be to God. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Now, if you are coming, just make sure you get here before I finish praying. But we need to pray now. Now, those of you in front, talk to the Almighty God. Just tell him, I've come to surrender my life to you. Lift me out of a life of sin. Save my soul. And I will serve you for the rest of my life. Forgive my sins and give me a brand new beginning. And the rest of you, please stretch your hands to them and intercede for them. Pray that the one who saved your soul will save their own souls also. That the Almighty God will wipe away all their sins and give them a brand new beginning. Intercede for them. And if you want to come, yes, you are welcome. You are not too late yet. Just make sure you get here before I finish praying. Come quickly. There's still room for you. There's still room for you at the cross. Come quickly. Please intercede for them, brethren. Intercede for them. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Savior. If there's anyone who still wants to come, you can still come. Just get here before I finish praying. Ask them to give you room if you want to come. Yes, God bless you, my brother. You are not late yet. Keep coming. Keep coming. You are not late yet. Keep coming. Anyone else who still wants to come, come. This is your day. You are not late yet. You are not late at all. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
And so, Savior, I want to say thank you. Thank you for your word. And thank you for these people that have come forward to surrender their life to you. Father, you promised that whosoever will come unto you, you will know why it's cast out. They have come to you now, Father. Please receive them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Whatever sins they have committed in the past, that blood of yours that cleanses from all sins, let that blood wash away their sins.
Amen.
As you save their souls, Father, write their names in the book of life.
Amen.
And from now on, anytime they cry unto you, please answer them by fire.
Amen.
And I pray that from today, their lifting will begin.
Amen.
And let them serve you to the very end.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. Now I rejoice with those of you who have come forward tonight. I really, really do. And I want to make you a solemn promise as a man of God. From tonight onward, by the grace of God, every day of my life, I'll be praying for you. So I'm going to need your names, your address, and your prayer request. Very soon you'll be receiving some miracles you do not even ask for. Then you know there must be somebody somewhere praying for you. That somebody will be me. So if you will please turn to your right, you see a placard with FOL written on it. Kindly follow that brother. There are some pastors waiting. They will collect the information I need and they bring you back very quickly. Let's begin to go now. Let's begin to go. Come on, rejoice. Why don't you praise the Lord for salvation of souls? Let's rejoice. Look at what God has done. This is the biggest miracle of all. Keep on clapping. Keep on clapping. Keep on clapping. Keep on clapping. Oh, give the Lord a big, big, big hand. He deserves it. Only he could have done this. Let's clap a little longer. Don't be stingy when it comes to praising God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Amen. Now, to wait for our brothers to join us just for 5 minutes. I want you to talk to the Almighty God. You know the areas where you need a lifting. Is it in the physical? Is it in the material? Is it in the spiritual? Just for 5 minutes, talk to the Almighty God. Tell him, Father, in this area, I want to be lifted. I want to be lifted. And even if all is well, if everything is rosy, it can lift you higher still. So talk to him. Ask him to lift you even higher still. If you are at the level ground, ask him to take you to the hill. If you are on the hill, ask him to move you to the mountain top. If you are already on the mountain top, ask him to give you wings to fly. Fly above mountains. If you're already flying high, ask him to carry you on eagle's wing. Move you from success to success. If you are sick, ask him to lift you out of sickness, out of disease. Ask him to make you healthy, strong, virile. And then to saturate you with his healing virtue, so that anyone you touch will get a healing. Ask him to move you to that level where your handkerchiefs will be carrying healing virtues to people who are far away. Ask him to saturate you with his virtue so that even your shadow can begin to heal. Ask him to prosper you far, far beyond all you can ever spend so that you'll be able to build his kingdom. You'll be able to do mighty things for God. ask him to anoint you so heavily that whenever you arrive, miracles arrive. That your life will bring joy to countless millions. Thank you, Father. Move me higher, O Lord. Move me much higher than where I am now. Lift me higher. Closer to you, Lord, than ever before. Take me to your bosom, O Lord. Let me hear you more clearly. Let me know you more intimately. Enable me to serve you much better than I'm doing now. Lift me higher, O Lord. Much, much higher than ever before. Thank you, my Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. I want you to stand on your feet. I want to pray for you. Oh, thank you, Father. Lift your hands to the Almighty God. My Father, my God, I want to bless your holy name. I want to thank you because I know you are here tonight. Because you said in your word that where two or three are gathered together in your name, you'll be there. So I know you are here. And I want to say thank you for a wonderful evening. Thank you for the souls that have been saved. And I know several dozen have been healed. Oh, if we have time for the testimony, I know many have been healed. So my Father and my God, I say, accept my thanks in Jesus' name. Now I'm committing all this, your children, to your hands. Everything they have asked for, give to them in Jesus' name. If they had asked for physical lifting, grant their request. If they have asked for material lifting, Father, surprise them. If they have asked for spiritual lifting, my Father and my God, do more than they have asked for. Please, Lord God Almighty, before the sun rises tomorrow, let every one of us here sing a new song. Thank you, my Father and my God, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Let me hear somebody shout hallelujah. Please be seated. Now get your piece of cloth. If you don't have an handkerchief, it will be any piece of cloth at all. You raise it up to the Almighty. And piece of cloth, but not piece of paper. So, if you don't have any piece of cloth, remove your jacket and raise it up. That jacket will become anointed also. Thank you, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus. My Father, my God, once again, I want to say thank you. Thank you because what we've done before, you will do again. Thank you for being with us tonight. Now, Father, I see all these pieces of cloth lifted up to you. Even as I wave my hand now, saturate each one with your anointing. So mightily that wherever each one is used, yokes will be destroyed. Miracles will happen. and your name will be glorified.
Amen.
Father, if they lay these pieces of cloth on the sick, let the sick be healed.
Amen.
If they lay it on the dead, let the dead rise.
Amen.
If they lay it on a dead business, let it begin to boom.
Amen.
Father, if they lay this piece of cloth on themselves and prophesy, let it be established.
Amen.
And Lord God Almighty, please bless the offering of your children.
Amen.
Sanctify it.
Amen.
And use it for your glory.
Amen.
And all those who have given now, my Father and my God, I pray that they will never lack again.
Amen.
And as your children will be going, let your presence go with them.
Amen.
On their way, let there be miracles.
Amen.
At home, let miracles be waiting for them.
Amen.
And in your kingdom, don't let any of us be missing.
Amen.
Thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
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 Now lay the piece of cloth on your own head. Be the first one to be partaker, and then prophesy. And mention your name and begin to seek some beautiful things to yourself. Like Adeboye is going to be well with you. God is going to stand by you. He's going to support you. He's going to defend you. He's going to fight your battles for you. Just go ahead and prophesy to yourself. Prophesy to yourself.